Last Sunday we saw that 350 times the Bible tells us to fear not. The Apostle Paul states in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." But we all experience fear when we're talking about those Bible verses. We looked at the example of God talking to Abraham, and Abraham was fearful that God's promise to him that he would have a son would not come true because he was getting old. Sarah was old. He said, "I'm too old, Lord, I'm too old." But God reiterated to him that he would have a child. It would be from his own loins, and his child, the descendants would be like the sands of the seas and the stars of the heavens, and would bless all mankind. And of course, over Revelation chapter 21, we saw that the Apostle Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus is that bright and morning star. So even within that promise that God made to Abraham to bless everyone, there in that verse is hidden the promise to bring the Messiah. So we should not fear. Some commentators translate what Paul was talking about there, the spirit of fear, as a spirit of cowardice. The spirit of fear or cowardice manifests itself in timidity, a shrinking back from truth, biblical principles. Often toleration is what we've been hammered into our American psyche for over 50 years. Generally, we would think that tolerance is one of the highest virtues. It's easy, though, to be tolerant. All we have to do is just do nothing. It takes strength, though, to stand for truth. When you're being shouted down, when you're being berated, sometimes maybe even physically persecuted, it's hard to stand. But God says he will give us the strength. Paul says that God has not given us this spirit of fear. This spirit of fear is from the spirit of evil. But then what has God given us? God Almighty has given us three things. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. God gives us the power, the strength to fight for the holy faith and keep the faith. God has given us love. Jesus' death on the cross is no greater demonstration than agape love could be that here's the sinless Son of God dying for sinful men. Lastly, of course, God has given us a sound mind, a mind of self-control. Do you know what the biggest problem that drug addicts have? Do you know what the biggest problem that alcoholics have? It's self-control. You see, when a drug addict gets his fix, then for a while, a day or two, or however long the addiction habit is, he's fine, or she's fine. And she thinks to herself, or he thinks to himself, "I've got to stop this. This is detrimental to my health. It's destroying my life, my family, and all those things." And so they want to stop. But in a few days, the drug begins to wear off, and their body physically, literally begins to scream to them, "I need another fix." So what has happened? They lose self-control. This COVID-19 has brought fear to many hearts. We fear, and we fear most the unknown. What's going to happen tomorrow? 1 John 4:18 tells us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Can you think about this? You know, you've seen it a million times your own self. Sometimes when a little boy or a little girl is startled by a loud noise, maybe they're taken to a strange place and they get separated a little bit from their parents, or maybe they're just a dog comes running up and barks at them and it's frightening them, and they run over and they take their dad's hand, and the minute they take their dad's hand, that little child has a transformation. Fear leaves, calm comes, and a confidence that in God's hand, in their father's hands, there is strength. We see that sometimes with little children again. When they get something like a scrape on their knee or an elbow or something like that, they come running in and they jump up in their mom's lap and their mom hugs them and kisses them and shows her love to them. And maybe sometimes the mother even actually kisses the knee or the elbow. And all of a sudden, that hurt is transformed. The fear has gone because they're in the presence of someone they have confidence in. They're in the presence of their mother and their father. We should recognize that once we are in the presence of God, in placing our hand in His hand, we should have perfect peace. But today I want us to look at praise. Years and years ago, I had a book entitled, It's Amazing What Praising Can Do. Well, last week, we tried to refocus our balance back from fear. Today, I want us to refocus ourselves back on something that's worth doing, and that is praising. It is amazing what praising can do. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 113, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun and to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praise. Praise is a very powerful weapon for us as believers in Christ to be able to use in the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in every day. As we praise the Lord, as we praise the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we can expect good things to happen. Not just things, but supernatural, fantastic things. Things that we would probably call miraculous things. God is in charge of miraculous things. So praise has a definition to express favorable judgment. So when we're praising God, we're asking Him to come alongside of us with favorable terms, favorable judgments towards us. There are many words that are kind of synonymous with praise in the scripture. Praise brings to us blessings. In praise, we have celebration and victory. When we exalt the Lord, we're praising. We're glorifying the Lord, we're praising. We magnify His name in all things, we're praising. Matter of fact, the great prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. God is always faithful. He never wavers. He's not like a weather vane. One day He's looking this way and the next day He's going this way because of the wind. Faithfulness and truth. Praise, then, is a very useful weapon we have in our arsenal that we can have victory. It turns defeat into victory. It turns defeat into the glory of God. It gives God an avenue in which to show Himself real to us and all around Him. Praise is the key that unlocks God's blessings for you and for me and actually for all those around us. I'll show you that in just a minute. The Bible is replete with examples of the power of praise. For example, when Israel was going into the land, and when they were being subjected to all the heathen powers around them, when they praised the Lord, when they came to battle, when they sang and they brought together the instruments and the psalmists and the harps and they sang and they praised the Lord, time after time after time, victory was theirs. Victory over their enemies. And also, victory over the land that they were to possess. You see, Canaan was a hard place, a desert land. But it could bloom. It would bloom for Israel. God's people coming into the land of Canaan would be a blessing to everyone living there and to all the land itself as they served the one true and living God in the midst of a sea of paganism. And there was a huge amount of paganism, a pantheon of gods, Baals. There was a Baal of fertility. There was a Baal of beauty. There was a Baal of youth. There was a Baal of war. There was a Baal of fate. A Baal of everything. A god for everything, little g. A god for everything, which of course was no god at all. Hosea 13:5 promises Israel. God says, I will care for you in the wilderness. In the land of drought, I will sustain you. Isaiah 35:1 says, the wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and bloom as a rose. You see, the people of God would bring blessings with them as they obeyed God, as they came into the land, as they were following God's commandments and God's instructions for the taking of the promised land. They would bring blessings with them. When Israel came to the land, the desert bloomed as a rose. Before that, before Israel was there, it was a harsh and unforgiving place. When Israel was exiled from the land returned to a desert. Those Palestinians and all those folks, they just eked out and scraped out a living on hard scrabble land. But once again, when Israel returned to the land after World War One, the land began to bloom again. The desert became a garden. Israel has much to praise God for. Yet, they turned their eyes from the living God to worship false gods, which of course were not gods at all. You know, we're just like them. We as Americans have much to praise God for. Yet, we too have turned our eyes from the living God to pagan idols and to pagan worships that only bring dryness to our souls and to our land. Some of the biggest problems we're having as Americans is because we have forsaken those things of God, the principles of God, and taken up unbiblical, unethical, unmoral acts like abortion. Many fear that persecution will come to America because of our turning away from God and our walking away and not holding to the things of God that we know and not loving God as we ought. Yet, I would say, and remind you that persecution probably will not come here. You say, what? Well, I don't know why we'd have persecution here. We've already given up the fight. We just go along with what everything's going on around us. All of that in the name of tolerance. You see, tolerance is not a virtue. It's a surrender of virtue. It's a surrender of principles. Why on earth would Satan want to persecute us if he's already got us doing all that we want to do? Yet Israel, if and when they repented and came back to the Lord, God would clean them up and pour his blessings out upon them again. What a wonderful grace of God. And if we, as God's people, will once more turn to him, humble ourselves, pray, and seek God's face, God will heal our land again. It's never too late because it's the grace of God. Unexplainable, unexplainable grace. Just as daily struggles, hardships, and the demands of life now and then can crowd out our space for praise to God, it takes our eyes off the prize, our high calling in Christ. The Spirit of God, though, urges us to come to him. It calls us. It calls us to go onward, to follow him, to press closer to him, and to praise him. The old song says, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." This is called the doxology. Doxos means glory. This doxology is an oral expression of praise and thanksgiving unto God. To God be the glory. Many churches, I think Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, have a doxology at the end of their service. And they say those words. But unfortunately, I think sometimes when we say these things over and over and over again, they become less important to us. They become a ritual. And we forget what we're saying, nor do we understand and amplify the meaning. But praising the Lord is something we should do. I want to give you 8 quick things that we can and should expect when we praise the Lord. Praise, number one, gets our focus off ourselves. I was so excited the other day when I went to the store and I saw a guy coming down the aisle and he had a cart with some toilet paper in it. And I walked over and I said, "Sir, is there toilet paper here?" He said, "Oh yeah, they have 2 pallets back there." And so I immediately made my way back there and there was a line to get that toilet paper. Focusing on ourselves. The COVID-19 has turned toilet paper into gold. The COVID-19 has caused us to have fear of the loss of our income, the loss of our jobs. If we lose our jobs, then we don't have the money to pay our rent. We don't have the money to buy the food we need. We don't have the money to keep the electric on. We don't have the money to pay for medicines or anything else we need. So we're frightened. We're almost paralyzed because we do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. But praise gets our focus off ourselves and the many things that we fear, and puts it back on God, in whom we can trust. He is faithful. His faithfulness and his truth never waver. Second, praise brings us to a place of humility. Many times we forget that in actuality, we are totally dependent upon God. I could just ask you a question, as I've done over the years. I sometimes say, whose air are you breathing? Well, we're breathing the Lord's air. The Lord makes his rain on the just and the unjust alike. The Lord has blessings poured out. And we need to come to a place in our life of seeing those blessings for what they are. Many, many times we're so busy and so hurrying from one thing to another that we can't even stop and pause for just a second and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me today. Thank you for bringing me through. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to me. Thank you for all that you give in your love to me. Number three, praise makes the enemy flee. I kind of mentioned this a minute ago, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22, it says, as they began to sing and praise the Lord, and set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Seir. You see, they were doing two things. They were praising God, singing in his praises, but they were also acting upon by faith that God was going to give them victory. They set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Seir. And the Bible says, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated because Israel were singing and praising God, and they weren't being afraid to fight for the things that God had given to them and the truth for which they stood. The enemy was defeated and they didn't even know what hit them. They couldn't understand how this ragtag bunch of people, a bunch of shepherds, came into the land and has had victory after victory after victory. Number four, praise leaves no room for complaining and negativity. Sometimes, you probably recognize this in your own prayer life, even as I have. Sometimes, even in my prayer life, I complain. Instead of thanking the Lord and asking God for petitions and things that have some positive direction to them, I just complain, oh my goodness, Lord, this is happening to me, that person doesn't like me, my car's broke down, whatever. Complaint after complaint after complaint. But you know, I think the reason we do that is I think we actually enjoy complaining. It gives us some sense of power. Well, I can just complain and gripe about that, and I can have some sense that I have fighting against that problem. But we need to replace our complaining spirit with a praising spirit. And then look, take notice of, watch for what God will do for us. Well, number five, praise makes room for God's blessing in our lives. I think, you know, we're human. We're not infinite. So there's so much room that we have in our hearts and our minds for what the things are that value us. Someone said, show me your checkbook and I'll show you what you really are interested in. Well, we need to make room for the blessings of God. We need to get those things out of our lives that are unproductive. We need to change our habit, and throw those things out. Get away from that sin and darkness. You see, there's a limited space in us, and we can fill it with what we want. We can fill it with complaining, griping, or we can fill it with praise. And when we fill it with praise, we've just cleaned out the space for God to use and bring us great blessings. Number six, praise is a big invitation from God to us to come into our lives. Psalms 22:3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. You want a place that you can get and you can find peace and you can find hope and you can find rest for your souls. Get before God. Remember, you're bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lamb. There's strength there, and we need to seize that strength for us in our lives that we might have victory. Well, number 7 says, our spirits are refreshed and they're renewed by the presence of God when we praise. Psalm 16:11 promises us, in his presence there is fullness of joy. Well, number 8 says, praise paves the way for God Almighty's power to be displayed. Miracles happen when we praise. You know, this is a selfish world we live in, and it's obvious to everyone when we have these things demonstrated before our eyes every day. There is this thing where people are running around with their cell phones taking selfies of themselves. I remember not too many years ago that President Obama was someplace and he took a selfie of himself kind of snuggling up to this young lady that was standing next to him. And I understand that Michelle Obama didn't really like that. Well, the selfie got him in trouble. Well, I've heard of and saw on the news that two people, a young person, a young lady, was at the Grand Canyon, and she kind of stepped over the wall, the safety barrier there at the Grand Canyon, to take a selfie, and she wanted this perfect picture, and so she stepped back one more step, and of course she fell to her death. And then the other one was something very similar. I couldn't even begin close to do this. Some girl was out in the desert someplace climbing one of these pinnacles, these rocks that shoot straight up in the air and they go thousands of feet up in the air and you get on top of the rock and it's about as big as a small rowboat up there. And this girl had made it all the way up there and her phone is recording all this stuff. She's happy. She's smiling. And she's thinking to herself, I'm on the top of the world, and she stood up, and her foot slipped, and off she went. Wow. Well, we need to make and understand that praise brings to us a place of sweet fellowship with God that is safe, always safe. Let me ask you, have you been there? Are you there today? If not, maybe it's time to release the reins of your life and let Jesus come into your life. We talk about accepting the Lord. When Paul talks about accepting the Lord over in Romans chapter 10 and 9, he talks about believing in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And when the mouth profession is made unto salvation, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the start. There's the place. You have to come to that place first, and then you can appropriate to yourself all the blessings that God would have for you. But salvation is not a one-time experience. The Bible teaches us that we are saved from the penalty of sin. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's when we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our life. We say, Lord, you know, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive my sins. I want you to come into my life, be Lord of my life. Seal me with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of full redemption. Right then, right there, God comes into our life. And the fullness of God's salvation is there in forgiveness of sin. But that's the penalty of sin being forgiven. As we walk in this world, we're in the power of sin. Sin is all around us. People doing things. People agitating, dangerous things. Sometimes it's, you know, we need to, and we do, try to exhort our children to be careful walking across the street. Don't talk to strangers, all those, because there is the evil that's in the world. So what God is doing, he saved us from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. We're not going to die. We're going to be everlastingly in the presence of God, but there is the power of sin that needs to be overcome too. And God will walk with us as we go through this world and we can have even victory over the power of sin. But ultimately and finally, there's be one glorious day when the saved shall gather, and we will be actually freed from the very presence of sin. You know, we've never experienced that. From birth to death in this physical life, we've always been in the grips of sin, in the power of sin, and in the penalty of sin. But one day, in the very presence of God, no sin whatsoever. What a glorious day that's going to be. The doxology says, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.